Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Well, we've had about a week off here on Issues Etc., bringing you some of the best of our programming, but we're back live on this Monday, and as usually happens when we're away from the studio here in Collinsville, Illinois, the comments on the Issues Etc. comment line tend to build up. We thought here on this Monday afternoon, with a few minutes to spare, we'd respond to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. We leave it open for you 24/7, even when we're not here, even on the weeks that we take a little vacation. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. It's for your questions, your comments, your criticism. If you hear something, as many of you do, listening on demand with that lag of a week or so, and you have a question for the guest or for me, you want some clarification, you have some criticism to offer, or a show suggestion, 618-223-8382, any time of day or night, 618-223-8382. Let's begin with a question about Romans 13.
Yes, this is Chris from Nashville, Tennessee, calling with a question. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." The question I have is, 150 years ago when the Civil War started and the southern states voted to secede from the Union, were they sinning by revolting against an authority that had been instituted by God, or had they retained their right to secede, and was the sovereign authority the state governments? And after the Confederate States of America formed, was that now a governing authority that had been instituted by God? And then did the citizens of the western part of Virginia sin by voting to leave the state of Virginia and leave the Confederate States of America and join the Union again? I'd be curious to hear your answer. Thanks.
You know, that's a fantastic question. It's actually, I think, a smaller question than the bigger one, which is often answered, the one I've kind of thought that the caller might ask about the American Revolution. I mean, if you want to talk about a question of whether or not a duly appointed authority was rebelled against in an unbiblical way, you got to go to the American Revolution. Now, we've actually talked about that with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, and I'll get into his response here in just a second. With regard to, I'm no Civil War expert. But I understand that the process of secession on the part of the southern states was one where they said, look, we are a United States of America. We are a United States of America. And that means that states can be apart or not be apart. And together we are deciding that we don't want to be a part of this. Now, obviously, the northern states, the Union, and President Lincoln at the time disagreed, saying you're rending asunder something that has been constituted to stand together. And so for various reasons, a war not just to end slavery but also to preserve the Union. You read the little history that I have read there, the constant rhetoric on the part of the North, and in particular of President Lincoln, who spearheaded the Civil War. We call it the Civil War. He wouldn't have thought of it as a civil war. He would have thought of a war to preserve the Union, or perhaps to restore the Union. Were they rebelling against the duly appointed authority of God? Well, I certainly don't believe they thought they were. And not being an expert on the Civil War and understanding all of their reasoning, we probably have a big difference of opinion. President Lincoln said, yes, you are, and I'm going to use the force of arms to keep you from rebelling against the duly appointed. I don't know if he would have thought of it in biblical terms, but he certainly would have thought it in constitutional terms. And for their part, they would have said, no, we consider this oppressive tyranny, and we're going to exercise our rights as individual states together to secede. Pretty messy business, isn't it? Now, to the question of the Revolutionary War. So, to answer your question, was Romans 13 being violated by the Southern states when they did this? In the fact that they went to war with their own country, I think we have to say yes. But that raises the bigger question about the American Revolution. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery has actually made a pretty good case that the American Revolution could have taken place without near as much bloodshed, without near as many shots fired, if they simply would have waited and sought brought their grievances. He talks about the political situation in Great Britain at the time. If they would have brought their grievances then, they could have made their case. And his case, there are times when doing something like that, does that mean that the United States is not a legitimate country? He says, by no means. It's a legitimate country. The fact that it began in revolution, as many do, doesn't necessarily mean that it isn't a duly appointed authority by God. It exists. It is here. It's lawfully constituted. But he says they could have achieved their goals, even of independence from Great Britain, from the crown, without having to resort to war. But again, I'm no expert there.
Hello, this is Kurt from Norman, Oklahoma. I've got a quick criticism. I just finished listening to the interview with JRB on Joe Biden and gay marriage in North Carolina this last week. And absolutely love it every week when she comes on. I think she's got fantastic logic, fantastic arguments. I agree with virtually everything that she has to say. And however, though, there was a trend that I'm seeing in, specifically in this last segment that I believe needs to be addressed. And that is whenever she's referring to Joe Biden in this case as slow Joe Biden or poor Joe Biden. I believe that these are attacks, personal attacks, that don't need to be added as an adjective. And she's got great points, great arguments, and that these don't need to be said, and they make it hard for sharing these segments with different people because of these attacks. And while I know that this isn't necessarily something that Issues Etc. can do, but I would hope that it would be addressed since we have her on every week. Thank you very much. Love the show.
All right, that's a legitimate criticism, I think. Now, I don't recall the specific incidents that he's talking about there. I do talk to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris. That's the guest he's referring to on a very regular basis, probably at least on a weekly basis. And we try to have her on every week because she is so beloved by our listeners. We do not have to. I think when she has referred to Vice President Biden as poor Joe Biden, that might be, I wouldn't call it necessarily an ad hominem attack as much as it is kind of a condescension there, to talk about, perhaps to make allusion to, our vice president's propensity for saying things that probably later need recalling. Now, with regard to slow, there's no need to do it. You're absolutely right. There's absolutely no need to intimate any kind of slowness on the part of the vice president. People can draw their own judgments about the vice president based upon his words themselves, and to stick to the issue, which is what we try to do as diligently as we can across the board with all our guests when we're dealing with issues, especially when it has to do, coming back to the issue of respecting authority, respecting the authority of those that God has put over us, including people like Vice President Joe Biden. We try to stick to the issue. That's why we call it Issues Etc. And deal with the issues rather than persons. You really get no place. And I think we can, I'm not trying to throw Dr. Morse under the bus in any way whatsoever, because I've done the same thing myself, folks. I've done absolutely the same thing myself. And it's something that we slip into, perhaps when we're feeling comfortable, but we never need to resort to weak arguments against persons rather than issues. When the truth is on your side, and with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, I can say to her great honor, she so often has the truth on her side, we can stick to the issues. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Mormonism and celestial marriage. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around His means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues Etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.